We're doing Megillah. We're up to the 13th Daf, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. And we had left off discussing what does it mean that Mordechai was an Ish Yehudi. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Kihava Patach, first wide line. When Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi would begin teaching the Divrei Ayomim, Book of Chronicles, Amar Hachi, he began with the following line. He'd say, the book of Divrei Ayomim, Kol Devarecha, Divrei Ayomim, Kol Devarecha, all your words, Echadim. They're really one. Very often in Divrei Ayomim, we have a listing of names, and they're all talking about the same person. The Pasuk is not describing different people, but rather traits of the same person. Divrei Ayomim is tricky that way, because Divrei Ayomim doesn't say, this is the son of this, this is the son of that. Look at the first Pesukim. It begins, Adam Sheis Enosh. Adam gave birth to Sheis, who gave birth to Enosh. But it doesn't tell you that. It just says, Adam Sheis Enosh. Now, go figure, what does that mean? So, in Divrei Ayomim, it's sometimes hard to tell. So, Rav Shimon ben Pazi would begin teaching Divrei Ayomim, he'd say, really, everything's all about one person sometimes. Sometimes it says so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. It gives you a list of 15 names, they're all the same person. And we know, as I said, Dvarecha is a play on words, on Divrei Ayomim. Divrei, Dvarecha. Vanu Yodin Ledoreshan, and we know how to darsh in them. And now we have an example. The pasuk says, "V'ishto haYehudit yaleda et yered avi gedor, ve'et chever avi socho, ve'et yikutiel avi zanoach, ve'ele b'nei bitya bat paro asher lakach mared." Okay, that's the pasuk. So it seems like his wife, Yehudis, gave birth to a long list of people. They are all the sons of Bitya, the daughter of Paro. Now we know where we know that Batya is the daughter of Paro, who married Mary. Amaika ela Yehudit. Why is Batya the daughter of Paro called Yehudit? Al shum shekafra b'avodah zarah. That's how it's connected to the earlier Gemara. The earlier Gemara said Mordechai is called Yehudi because he denied paganism. So to Batya, who left the paganism of her father, she is called Yehudit. Dichtiv, atert bat paro lirchotz al hayor, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan sheyarda lirchotz mikilulei bet aviya. It says the daughter of Pharaoh went down to the Nile, and Rabbi Yochanan says, we have on tradition, she went down to immerse herself from the idol worship of her father. The pasuk says, yaleda, she gave birth. She didn't give birth to Moshe. This pasuk is all a description of Moshe. Here you're going to see many of Moshe's names. She brought him up. She didn't give birth to him. To teach you that whoever brings up an orphan boy or girl in their home, it's as though they gave birth to them. She brought up Yered, ze Moshe. Melam nikra shmo Yered, sheyarad lehem leYisrael man biyamav. Why is he called Yered? Because Yered means to come down. The man came down for the Jews in his days. He is then called Avi. What? Avi Gedor. So the Gemara darshins. What does it mean? Gedor shegadal pirtzoten shel Yisrael. He is the one that fenced up the breaches in Am Yisrael. Chever shechiber Yisrael avien shebashamayim. Moshe is called Chever because he connected Am Yisrael lechaber. He connected Am Yisrael to the Father in heaven. Socho shenasa lehem Yisrael kesuka. Socho comes from the word to give shade. He gave shade protection to the Jewish people. Yekutiel shekivu Yisrael la'el bi'amav, that the Jewish people hoped for Hashem in his days. Zanoach shezniach avonotehim shel Yisrael, he was able to put down the sins of Am Yisrael. Why does it say Avi, Avi? Twice he's called Avi Gedor, Avi Socho, Avi Zanoach, Av B'Torah, Av B'Chochma, Av B'Nviyut. He was the father of Torah, wisdom, and prophecy. The pasuk concludes, "Ve'ele b'nei Bitya asher lakach mared." These are the sons of Bitya that Mared married. Who married her? Kalev married her. V'chi mered shmo v'alo Kalev shmo. He's not called Mered, he's called Kalev. אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, יבוא כלב שמרד בעצת מרגלים, וישא את בת ברו שמרדה בגילולי בית אביה. Let Kalev come who rebelled against the plot of the spies and marry the daughter of Pharaoh who rebelled against her father's idol worship. So that's why he's called Mered. Okay, so that's an example of the drasha that you have many names in a pasuk, and they're all referring to one person. And this goes back to the concept that the word Yehudi means one who denied idol worship, one who went for monotheism. Now we're back to the Megillah. The Megillah says that Mordechai was one of the people, Asher Eglam Yerushalayim, that were Asher Hoglam Yerushalayim, that were exiled from Jerusalem. So, Amar Rava, Shegala Me'atzmo, Hogla means he went out into exile. Doesn't mean he was forced into exile, but rather he volunteered to go into exile, just like Yirmiyo did. He said, I want to go out and be with the Jews in exile. So too Mordechai went to help the Jews in exile. Part of the Jews remained in Israel, other Jews were in exile. He went on Shlichut. He went out to help the Jews in Babylon, in Persia. It says he adopted Hadassah. At times she's called Hadassah, at times she's called Esther. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Esther Shema. Rabbi Meir thought her name was Esther. V'lama nikra Shema Hadassah? So why is she called Hadassah? Al Shem HaTzadikim Shenikru Hadassim. Just like the righteous are called Tzadikim. V'chenu Omer, and so it says in the prophecy of Zechariah, Zechariah sees an angel coming on a horse, a red horse, a white horse, all kinds of different colored horses. Guys, join us in our Friday class, we'll get there. We're slowly making our way through Cheyasar, soon to get to Zechariah. So he sees the angel riding on a horse, Lu'umed ben Hadassim, and the angel standing among the Hadassim. How do you say Hadassim? Myrtle branches. What does it mean among the Hadassim? It means he was standing among the Tzadikim that had been exiled to Bavel. The angel represents God, and God is standing among the Tzadikim in Bavel. So just like in the prophecy of Zechariah, the Hadassim refer to the Tzadikim, so too over here Esther is called Hadassah as a nickname that she is a Tzadikis.
Interesting.
I don't remember. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hadassah Shema. Rabbi Yehuda says her name is Hadassah. V'lama nikra Shema Esther? So why would she give him the name Esther? Al Shem Shaita Masteret Vareah. Because she was able to hide her words, which is very difficult for a woman. Women, very often, you tell them a secret, they want to tell. And Esther went against her nature. She did what she had to do. She didn't tell. Shneimaos, the pasuk says, "Ein Esther magedet et amavet molata." Esther did not reveal her nation or where she came from, where she was born. Rabbi Nechemia omer, Hadassah shma, v'lam nikret shma Esther, shayu mot olam kuin ota al shum estahar. Her name was Hadassah. The nations called her Esther because these are the Arab nations, the Persians, the Medes, like we know. So when they wanted to praise her, they'd say, she's beautiful like the moon. Estahar is the moon. We also say in Shir Shirim, it says, Yafacha Levana, beautiful like the moon. Ben Azai Omer, Esther lo aruka velo ktsara ita. Esther wasn't tall, wasn't short, Ela benonit kadasah, but just perfect in the middle, just like the bears, right? Just perfect, not too hot, not too cold, just perfect. So Esther wasn't too tall, wasn't too short, just perfect like a Hadassah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua the son of Rabbi Akiva, who was bald, said, Esther yirakoket aita. Esther was green, just like the Hadassah is green, so too Esther. She had such horrible skin color, she was green.
Greenish tinge,
yeah, nothing beautiful about her. But the chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. But Esther, Hashem made her have chesed. When Hashem wants a person to find favor in people's eyes, they could look green. And people don't look at her and say, "Hey, that's it called in Sesame Street, the green guy." Oscar. That's not Oscar the Grouch. No. They say, "Wow, what a fine lady. And even the king falls for her. That's chayin. Chayin is when you don't have beauty. Chayin is a person that doesn't have beauty. He has chayin, he has charm. So Esther, God granted her, she was surrounded with chesed. She found favor in people's eyes. Her looks, if anyone looked at her, they wouldn't even enter her into a beauty pageant. So how'd she get queen? Chut shel chesed. So you could look at the Marsha here, or you could look at the Marsha in Tanis or Chagiga. I don't remember, the Gemara brings, someone stays up at night, says that in the next morning he'll be granted a chut shel chesed.
Learning.
I don't know if it means all night. Stays up late learning. But most people, when they stay up late learning, they don't have no chut shel chesed. They end up being grouches. We're not in that madriga. We should sleep. People look at us and we do become the grouch. So we got to sleep. The pasuk describes Esther as ki ein la'av ve'em. Mordechai adopted her, for she had no father and mother. Uvemot avia ve'ima. When her father and mother died, lekacha Mordechai lo levat. Mordechai adopted her as his daughter. Now, if the pasuk already described that she has no father and mother, why does the pasuk have to again stress when her father and mother died, he took her in? Lamali, why does the pasuk re-stress that? Amar Rav Acha. Rav Acha said it's going to teach us the following. Ibalta, when her mother became meuberet, when her mother got pregnant, metavia, her father died after conception. Yaldatan, when her mother gave birth to her, metaima, her mother died. So when does a father get a name, father? Once it's recognized that his wife is pregnant. Once he gives the seed, once she's pregnant, usually he's called a father, says Rashi. When she called an aim, a mother, when the baby comes out. So at childbirth she died. So that's what the pasuk's describing. When he died, before he could be called a father and before she could be called a mother. So this is an interesting concept. Why is she only called a mother when the child is born? It's a long conversation. In a nutshell, we find that in the Mishnayos and Menachos, when it's described the wine that's fit for libation, so they describe the wine, kind of you squeeze the grapes, you put the grapes with the juice, and then when you have the wine without the sediment is referred to as the mother. The mother. So that's an indication of also when something comes from something else, that's what a mother is. It's something that comes from within something else. When you separate something from something else, a grape with the wine inside, it's not called a mother. When you have wine, when you have grape juice separate from the grape, then those crushed grapes are called the mother.
Extraction, it's like a child from the womb.
Right. And then we have to move on to the word emet and the emunah, and see if the word emunah has any connection to aim, to a mother. I claim it does, but I've not yet found anyone that agrees with me. No, I haven't found the source for it. I think that emunah is the truth that's within, and we have to take it out. Really, everyone has within themselves emunah. Emunah is not something that's learned externally. It's something that you have to draw out from within yourself. Just like when you squeeze out grapes and get the wine. Just like when a mother has a baby and the baby comes out. The baby is there. Maybe he's at the end of the ninth month. Until you take him out, she's not a mother. So to emunah. That's my own job. Maybe it's true. Who knows? Okay. Uvimot avia ve'ima. Back to the Gemara. Uvimot avia ve'ima. Lekacha Mordechai lo levat. Who knows? You gotta look. Gotta find. I'm sure I'm not the first one who thought of it. So you gotta look. Uvimot avia ve'ima. Lekacha Mordechai lo levat. When her father and mother died, Mordechai took her for a daughter, Tana Mishum Rabbi Meir. We have a Tana quote in the name of Rabbi Meir. Whenever we have the word Mishum, ordinarily it means in the name of, but they didn't hear it directly. In a future class, we'll discuss the special status Rabbi Meir has and whether we can apply that to Rabbi Meir as well. Al tikri lebat, ela lebayit. Don't read it as bat, but rather bayit. Okay, that deserves a long discussion. If you want, look at the Rishonim on Parshas Achrei Mos, v'chiper bado v'ad beiso. Their discussion over there. V'chenu omer, so too it says in the pasuk, v'larash en kol Huh? Art
school cheats.
What?
Puts it in right there.
They tell you what?
That's taken as a wife. So it's like that.
Right, so a home over here means a wife. The problem is, the Rishonim say that in Torah language, a wife is never called a home, only in Talmudic language. So they say it's a medrash, but the question is, how are we to understand the Pasuk Nachrimos, where he brings a sacrifice, the Torah says, Bado uvad beso, for him and his home, which Chazal understood to mean his wife. And the Rishonim say that's not pshat in the Pasuk, because in Tanakh language, a wife is not called a bias. This is a drasha, but not Pashup Shat Tanakh. So that's where I was referring to. But Pashup Shat in the Gemara is, he took her as a daughter, it means the bias to a home, it means for a wife. The wife is the home. That's what Rav Yossi says. I never called my wife, and I never called my ox. Rather, I called my wife my home. Huh? But Rav Yossi was a nomadic Jew. He was an exile his whole life, up in Tzipori. Okay, yes.
No, just in light of what you said above, that somebody that adopts a kid, it's like their parents. It's his kid. Is it problematic now to say that he married in light of this?
No. She's his niece. There's a mitzvah to marry a niece. V'chein u'meo. So too we find, and the word v'chein usually means lo zu'afzu. It says v'larashe in kol ki'im kivsa achat k'tana asher kana. The pasuk when Natan HaNavi comes and gives his famous mashal to David, he describes this poor man. He has nothing but this little sheep that he purchased. He kept her alive. She grew with him and his children together. She ate from his bread. And she drinks from his cup. And she sleeps with him. They cuddle together, he and his sheep. She was like a daughter to him. So, here too, he's referring to that poor man is Uriachiti, and the sheep is his little wife, Batsheva, all of a very little girl, right? So, Vati lo kevat, she was like a girl to him. Mishum de b'chikot tishkav havele kevat. What does that mean? Who sleeps with their daughter? Who cuddles when they go to sleep with their daughter? Ela lebayis. That's talking about she was his house, she was his wife. Tachanami lebayit. So to hear, when the pasuk says Mordechai took her as the daughter, it means as a house, as a wife. Okay, the pasuk says that the guy Haggai, who was in charge of all the girls, he liked her a lot, and he brought her everything she needed quickly. The etcheva nehot, and the seven girls that she was fit to have from the king's palace. So what does she need seven girls serving her for? Amarova shaitamona ben yemei Shabbat. That she count the days of Shabbos with those girls. And if you want, look at the Targum on that pasuk. The Targum tells us the names. She named each one. She changed their names. And she gave each one a name that corresponded to the creation of the day she would serve her. She didn't say Rishon Sheni, no. She'd name them sun for the day the sun was created, and stars, and etc. She'd give them names that reflected the days of creation. She wasn't so overt. Obviously, she wanted to hide that she's Jewish. Okay, the pasuk says he gave her special treatment. Letov, he moved her and her girls to the best place. He gave them the best suite. Amarav shechilam achal yudi. Rav says this is a reference to the fact that he gave her Jewish food. Ah, that's the best sweet eating cholent on Shabbos. Shmuel amar shechila kadlei dechaziri. Shmuel says, what you talking about? You know what it means? He gave her the best food. He gave her the best part of pork. You want to know what's the best food? Oh, the best part of pork. And here, this is kadlei chaziri, is like the walls of the pig. I don't know exactly what it is. Rashi gives us a French word. I'm not a maven in pork, sorry. Now, the truth is that the concept that letov bet anashim would mean kadle chazire, really, there's another gemara that says that the word tov refers to kadle chazire. The pasuk says, Hashem says, I gave you a great land. I gave you batim meleim kol tuv asher lo banita. Houses filled with everything good that you did not build, you found when you entered the land of Israel. Houses filled with all good, says the Gemara, I think in Chulin, either that or in Sota, I don't remember. The Gemara says, what's all the good that they found in the houses in Israel? Batim Eleim Kol Tuv. That's referring to the fact that the years, we had 7 years of war, 7 years of dividing the land of Israel. In the years we were conquering the land of Israel, we were permitted to eat kadle chazire. The Jews were allowed to eat pork during those years they were conquering the land of Israel. So the Gemara says, that's what the pasuk means. And it says, I gave you houses filled with good. So you see, the word tov somehow means kadle chazire. I guess it's a delicious part of the pork. Where, I don't know. The Gemara says there's a fish that tastes just like that. Anything that God prohibited, God gave us its equivalent that's permitted. So I don't know what the fish is, and I don't know what the pork is. Okay, Amar Rav Yochanan. We have a third opinion. Rav Yochanan. I skipped. Where are we? Rav Yochanan Omar. Rav Yochanan says, what was she getting that was so good? Zeronim. Ah, she was getting chilled beans. She was getting all kinds of zeronim, some kinds of lentils, some kind of seed, I don't know, bird feed. Zeronim, some kind of lentils. V'chein u'mer, and that's what we find by Daniel, that the king said, the children that are brought into my house, they get all my delicious food, and the Jewish children were all fed the king's non-kosher food. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they went over to the guy in charge of them and said, do us a favor, bring us beans, bring us chulm beans. So he said, I can't. The king demanded you have his delicious food. He wants to see you looking good. So they said, give us a trial period. Maybe he gave us a trial period, and he saw they looked better than all the other kids. So it became a deal. The waiter, the guy who was in charge of bringing them their food, he take all their steaks and all the delicious food the king had set aside for them, and he gave them their beans and stuff. So just like they, when they were under foreign rule out in this exile, they sought to eat kosher, so too she. What does it mean? He switched her, and he gave her the best stuff from the king. It means he switched her from the non-kosher diet to the kosher vegetarian meal. Okay. Shisha chodashim. Guys, you with me?
Okay.
You're allowed to laugh. Okay. Shisha chodashim v'shem enamo. It says in the pasuk that in order for a girl to be fit to be brought before the king, she'd have to immerse herself 6 months in the oil called shemen amor, and 6 months in the different types of perfumes, and then she was fit to come for a night before Achashverosh. So what's this shemen amor? My shemen amor. Rav Chiya bar Rama Abba Omar Satachat. He says, you want to know what that is? That's the thing that we here in Babylon call satachat. So the Talmud in Shabbos discusses what it is, something that softens the skin and removes all hair. Okay, do they explain down here? It's a type of perfumed oil. Okay, the Gemara goes into how you make satachat. Whatever, you guys could look it up. I think it's the sixth chapter of Shabbos. Rav Huna Amar Shemen Zayis Shelohevi Shlish. Rav Huna says it's olive oil before it's a third ripe. Okay, Tanya Rav Yud Omer Anpikinun. You want to know what's Anpikinun? That's Shemen Zayis Shelohevi Shlish. That's olive oil that you make of olives that haven't reached a third ripeness. Lama Sachinoto. Why do they anoint girls with this oil called Anpikinun? Anpek means to take out. The reason is shemesira se'ar, because it removes the hair, depilatory oil, yeah? Umadenet abasar, and it softens the flesh. Okay, so he wanted hairless girls, which in the times of Chazal was like a given. If a girl showed up to her husband with any piece of hair other than on her head, that was considered like the biggest chutzpah. Chazal say that's what... That's what Pilegesh Begiva. Why'd she run away from her husband? Because he came and found her with a hair. For some reason, they said that if women had hair in their private parts, they could castrate the man. Talmud says there was one woman who did it. When Amnon raped Tamar, so Chazal say Tamar took a hair and castrated him. How'd she do that? I don't know, but that explains why he hated her so much afterwards. At any rate, they held that if women had hair, that was a terrible thing. If they had hair in any place other than their head. Okay, other than on their head. Logically, a woman could do whatever she wants. The only time it has relevance, Sephardi women till today hold it's like a disgrace. They have to remove all hair other than on their head. In the Sephardi, the only time it can have relevance is when a woman goes to mikvah. So she's not supposed to have anything on her body. Her whole body is supposed to be immersed in the water. And if she has hairs that she will definitely remove, so then there's room to discuss whether that could be a problem. Ordinarily, we say every part of the body is not a chatzitza, you know, so long as there's no dirt, your hair isn't a chatzitza. But if it's hair that she knows she always removes and she's going to remove, there's no way she's coming home with that. It's just a matter of removing it before mikvah or after mikvah. Then there's room to say it's a problem. Okay, each one will ask the local Orthodox rabbi. The pasuk continues and describes at night the girl would come, in the morning she'd go back to a second house, a second harem, where she'd have to wait and see if Achashverosh ever wanted to see her again. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan teaches the following, and we remember who Rabbi Yochanan is. Right? Tell me, guys, what do we know about Rabbi Yochanan?
He wrote the Talmud, Yerushalayim.
Okay, he composed the Jerusalem Talmud. What else? He was beautiful. What else? He brought Reish Lakish b'tshuva, and they learned together. His 10 children died. And he died from sorrow. He was a disciple of Rabbi Yanai. One of his prime disciples was Rabbi Elazar. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mignuto. So you guys are masters of Talmud already. Wow. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mignuto shel oto rasha. Lamadnu shivcho. From this Russia's shame, from this Russia's terrible behavior, we learn some praise about him. Shlohaya mishamesh mitoso bayom. One thing decent about him was at least he didn't sleep with the women by day. Chazal said the derech eretz is that people have their intimate relations at night. By day, a person's supposed to be productive outside the house, and at night he could be productive inside the house, reproductive. At any rate, Rav Yochanan was that's the way a person's supposed to behave. And this is interesting balance what Chazal teaches. You know, we're going to say a lot of bad things about Achashverosh, but if there's something decent to say about him, we don't withhold that from him. That's something to remember. Sometimes we write someone off, and then everything he does is bad. There can't be anything decent. Chazal were careful not that way. Chazal said, look, Esav did keep it off aim. Chazal said Achashverosh had a point of decency. The pasuk describes Vatehi Esther Noset Chain. What do they write there? This is Rabbi Elazar. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Who is it? I have a Rashi Tevos.
It's part of the Megillah.
No, the next word. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so we've gone on to Rabbi Yochanan's disciple. Amar Rabbi Elazar. The pasuk says Vatehi Esther Noset Chain. Esther found favor in everyone who saw her. She had charm. Everyone thought she was from his nation, from his people. So everyone liked her, you know, everyone was rooting for her. Everyone hoped the queen would be from their nationality. We see that Ahasuerus really told her, if you only tell me what nationality you're from, I'll give him tax breaks. Ahasuerus really was about to do that. You know, if he knew what nationality she'd be from, they'd all have it good. Then again, they could all have it bad. If he gets upset at her, he could say off with her head and all the women in her town or whatever. So, at any rate, everyone thought she was from her nationality, and when someone's on the way up, everyone figures he'll make it up there and it'll be good for me. So everyone who saw her, she found favor in their eyes. I don't know how she did that. If Esther did something on purpose, you know, she used French eyeshadow and Spanish turbans and who knows what. I don't know what she did. But at any rate, everyone saw in her his own nation. And sometimes if you don't know who someone is, so you see the similarities. You see how he's like you, especially if you have reason to root for them. Okay. V'tilakach Esther l'melech ha'chashverosh el bet malchuto b'chodesh ha'asiri hu chodesh tevet. Esther was taken to Ahasuerus's palace on the 10th month, the month of Teves. Ah, that's the cold month of the year. Yerach shneine guf min haguf. That's a month where a person appreciates body warmth. So Hashem wanted him to like her. So Hashem thought that she'd end up coming in a month that it was cold. Vayeha v'melech et Esther mikol anashim. Yerach is a month. ויהב המלך את אסתר מכל הנשים. The king liked Esther more than all the women. ותיסחן וחסד לפניו מכל הבתולות. And she found more favor and charm in his eyes than all the virgins. Amar Rav. Rav says, you want to know what kind of derelict this guy was? He'd taste whatever he wanted at night. Bikesh litom tam betula. If he felt like having a virgin, tam tam betam. So he'd have a taste, he'd bring in a virgin. Tam betula, tam. If he'd want to taste a married woman, he'd have a married woman. Whoever he wanted was brought before him. And Hashem made it with Esther that whatever he imagined, that's what he felt like he was with that night. He made a great feast and said, tell me, what family are you from, Esther? She didn't tell him. So, Dali Kauga, he gave a tax break. He said, you know, if you'll only tell me, your family will benefit from it. He said, in honor of Esther, I'm reducing the head tax. She didn't reveal. Shadal Pardishne, he sent gifts to the different nobles in the name of Esther. He said, you only tell me, I'll send more gifts to your family. She didn't tell. And then the Pasuk says, Vikavetz betulot chinit, when they had a second gathering of virgins. Mordechai was sitting there giving counsel. So the Gemara says he didn't know what to do. He wants to know, where's this girl from? I married a girl. Who did I marry? An orphan? Do I know? So he goes to his rabbi. Azil Shakile Tami Mordechai. Went to Mordechai and said, tell me, what am I going to do? How do I get her to confess? Amal, so Mordechai sent him a fantastic piece of advice. En isha mitkana ela biyerech chaverta. A woman won't be jealous. You can give as much money, as much gifts, as much tax breaks. You want her jealous? You got to bring another woman into the picture. A woman will only be jealous of another woman's thigh. So this is a fantastically important point. When I was still not married, when I was still learning in yeshiva, I wasn't even dating. So I had a friend who was... he married a wife who was so into learning Torah that during their Sheva Brachas, she said to him, why are you still home? So he says, what do you mean? She says, I married you to be the Gadol Hador. What are you here for? Go learn Torah. And every week, he'd come to yeshiva and learn all week and only come home like once a week, one night a week, and then for Shabbos. All week long he was learning. When I had to be tested for smichos, Rabbi Feinstein said to me, go get tested by him. He's the biggest Talmud Chacham in the Beis Medrash. He'll test you. MTJ. And he told me, this goes back over a decade ago, he told me, he said, the key to a woman being happy with your learning Torah is that whenever you go to learn Torah, you tell her, I'd rather be with you. If she feels that you'd rather be with her, so then she can push you out and say, go learn. The second she feels you'd rather be with the Gemara, so then that's what Mordechai told Achashverosh. En isha mitkana el abiyer chaverta. A woman is jealous of competition. So long as she feels she's the only one, achati onati tamati, like the Pasuk says in Shir Shirim, you're the only one. You're the beloved. Everything is about you. So then she could say, go out, learn Torah. The Torah isn't a competition to her. The second she starts feeling, you'd rather be with the Torah than be with me. So then she needs you to be with me. Come back. And this is a man whose wife was such a tzaddikus, I'm telling you. I mean, she kicked him out of the house during Sheva Brachas. So that's the rule he taught me when I was still a bachelor. You always have to give your wife the feeling that she's the only important thing in the world. The second a woman feels this competition, so she feels needy. And this is true, even by a tzaddikus like Esther, and even by a guy like Achashverosh, because you see, after Mordechai gave Achashverosh this advice, the pasuk stresses, nonetheless, Esther wouldn't give it away, and she'd listen to whatever Mordechai told her. And Chazal are about to tell us, Mordechai would give her pep talks. Don't break down, Esther. He's trying to pressure you. He's he's coaching both sides. He's telling Achashverosh, you want to pressure her, make another beauty pageant. Esther hated every night she was with Achashverosh. In her mind, there was rape every night. And nonetheless, there was an element where she needed Mordechai's coaxing to not break down.
What was the purpose of the Chag Yomim?
Excellent. The Gemara is about to discuss that. And even though he's making another pageant, she didn't give it away. The pasuk says, "Ein Esther magedet moladeta." Esther would not reveal where she came from, where she was born, her nation, just as Mordechai commanded her, because whatever Mordechai told her, she would do. That Mama Mordechai Esther osa. Amar Rabbi Elazar, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar said, "My dichtiv." We just went over to Amud Beis. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Lo yigra mitzadik einav"? Hashem will not withhold from the tzaddikim what they've done. Hashem looks at what they've done, and Hashem pays them back. B'schal tzniut shehayta ba berachel zachta v'yatza mimena Shaul. In the merit of the modesty that Rachel had, she merited to have a son like Shaul. U'v'schal tzniut shehaya bo b'Shaul, and in the merit of the modesty of Shaul, zacha v'yatzat mimeno Esther, he merited to have a great-great-granddaughter like Esther. U'may tzniut hayata ba b'Rachel, what modesty was in Rachel, d'chtit. The pasuk says, v'ayged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu. When Yaakov meets up with Rachel, he tells her, "You know, I'm your father's brother." Was he really her father's brother? But he was her father's sister's son. He was her father's nephew. What does he mean, "I'm your father's brother"? He said to her, "Min sevatli, you're going to marry me?" She said, "Yeah, sure. But my father's a swindler. You won't be able to trick him, you know. It's not going to work." He said, "Don't worry. I'm his brother in treachery. I know how to trick just as good as he can." She says, "Wait a second. I was told you're a tzaddik. That's why I agreed to this shirach. Is a tzaddik allowed to be a swindler?" He said, "Yeah, but that's permissible. The pasuk describes that Hashem, the way Hashem deals is, im naval titaval, v'imikesh titpatal." The pasuk says that Hashem goes face to face with a person's way of dealing, so tzaddik's supposed to go the same way. He said, "What are you worried about? What trickery is he going to do?" I have a sister who's older than me. We're twins, but she's the older twin. He won't marry me off before her. So it's 7 years from now till then, but who says she'll get married in that time? Masala simanim, he gave her the signs. He told her, "Well, this is the sign. A Jewish woman is responsible for the following three mitzvot. Chala, nida, adlokas, aner." Taught her the halachas of those three. He said at the wedding date, I will ask you, tell me, what's your responsibilities as my wife? And you are to respond, chala, nida, adlokas, aner. So he gives her this sign. Kimata leilia, when the wedding night came, her father says, "Hey, Rachel, you're not going in, Leah's going in." Amcha, Esther said, Rachel said to herself, "Hashtamich sefa chatai. Now my sister is going to be shamed. Masaltinu niala." She gave over the signs to Leah, v'hainu dichtiv. And that's why the pasuk describes, "Vaiva boker." It was only the following morning that Yaakov realized, v'inehi Leah. He was shocked. Suddenly he realizes it's Leah. How did that happen? Michlal dada shalav Leah. What does that mean? Till now it wasn't Leah. And mitoch simanim shemasera Rachel Leah. But because Rachel gave Leah the signs, until that time Yaakov wasn't on to the trick. Now, being that Rachel had that modesty, because she didn't want it should be revealed that Yaakov had given her signs. That means he was prepared for her father's trickery. He was prepared for her father's trickery. That means Rachel already told Yaakov 7 years earlier, "You should know my father's a swindler." So she had modesty. She didn't want all of this to be revealed. So because she had that modesty, zachta, she merited v'yatza mimena Shaul. She merited to have a great-great-grandson like the great tzaddik Shaul. Matznut hayta v'Shaul. And what modesty do we find in Shaul? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, here all of Israel is waiting to see who the first king that's going to be appointed is going to be. Everyone wants to know. And Shaul is told by the prophet Shmuel, he's going to be the first king. Shaul comes back home. His uncle says, where you been? He says, we went looking for the donkeys. He says, what happened? The lad says, yeah, we went by the prophet. Ah, you went by the prophet? What did he tell you? He told us the donkeys were found. He didn't tell his uncle, oh, and by the way, yeah, I'm going to be the next king. He doesn't say that. He keeps it quiet. So he had that modesty. He merited, and Esther came out of him. Amar Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar taught the same Rabbi Elazar, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Kshakadosh Baruch Hu posek gedula le'adam, when God gives greatness to a person, posek levanav ve'livnei vanav atzof kol adorot. The intent is for him and all future generations. God gives greatness, limitless greatness, so long as we live up to it. I think it's like sets aside. Decrees. I think so. I'm not sure. Posek. Shenemar, as the verse says, the conclusion of that pasuk in Iyov says, Lo igrami tzadik einav, ve'et melachim lakise, v'yoshidem lanetzach v'yigba'u. God doesn't withhold the righteousness of the tzadik. God sees it. And to the point where he brings them up to the throne. That's why we said, Lo igram atzadik einav. That's the modesty of Rachel. That's a continuation of the pasuk. Ve'et melachim lakise. She merited to have a king on the throne. Now, Vayoshivem lanetzach vayigbau. Hashem granted them eternal throne. And they uplifted their heads. Ve'megis da'ato. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. But if he becomes too proud, that's the next pasuk. Hashem puts him down, and that's the next pasuk in Iyov. Ve'im asurim bazikim yilachdu b'chavlei oni. Okay. We have another 2 minutes. Let's do another section. Ve'et ma'amah Mordechai ester osa. Mordechai would listen to whatever Mordechai taught her. Esther would listen to whatever Mordechai taught her. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah taught, the famous Rabbi Yirmiyah, who always asked specific questions. Rabbi Yirmiyah taught, Shaita mar'a dam nida l'chachamim. She would show her blood, she would show the cloths, the bedika cloths, to see if she was a nida or not. A woman who has menstruated, a woman who is a nida, is biblically prohibited from having relations, even with a guy. You know, a woman's prohibited from marrying a non-Jew. But let's say a woman does marry a non-Jew. So halachically, she's every time she's living with him, she's having one biblical prohibition for living with a non-Jew. And aside from that, if she lives with him when she's a nida, she's having another biblical prohibition. So Esther, even though she's sleeping with Achashverosh against her will, I mean, it really is rape every night, but she has no choice. He's going to kill her. So what can she do? The Gemara discusses why she was, what really happened there. But that's not here. Doesn't what apply at the wedding night? Let's, not with you. She showed her blood to the rabbis. Why? When a woman checks herself, a woman has her period. After she has her period, then there are times when she should be clean. During those times. Right. That's also considered nida, even though technically it's not nida. Technically the blood isn't coming from the womb. Nida blood comes from the womb. But we treat all blood... it's more complex. When you'll be a chas, and we'll discuss the details. Practically, we treat it like nida blood, even though we know it isn't. We say, being that we have no way of discerning what's mixed in there, if there is nida blood and there isn't nida blood, and there is good biological reason to doubt as to whether she remained clean. When a woman gets excited, then she sometimes her womb releases some blood. That's why There are different halachot. Once you decide you're going to marry a girl, we say that excitement will also sometimes bring on a period. So at any rate, also the excitement of being with her husband the first time could cause her also to have a little bit of menstruation, which makes her anida. The smallest amount of blood coming from the womb makes her anida. So we say, being there is blood, and we don't know what's what. You see red, you don't know what's what. So, yeah. But again, it's a long conversation. In 2 seconds, we're not covering all the details. Okay. The pasuk says she listened to Mordechai kasher hayetav omnaito, as she would when she was under his tutelage. Amar Rabba bar Leima shehayta omedet mechiko shel Achashverosh v'tovelet v'shochevet mechiko shel Mordechai. She'd sleep with Achashverosh, then go to mikvah, and then continue sleeping with her husband Mordechai. So here there's a big question: how could she do that? If she'd get pregnant, we wouldn't know whose son it was. A woman's not allowed to go from one husband to another. Even if her husband died, she has to wait 3 months to ensure that she's not pregnant before she could remarry. So how could she do that? How could she sleep with both of them? So Tosas asked that, and Tosas says when she'd be with Achashverosh, she'd have a tampon. She'd have a moch. She'd have something, birth control. She'd have a type of birth control that the Talmud discusses in Nida, in the tractate Nida. She had a way of absorbing all his sperm, and she knew she wasn't getting pregnant from him. Okay, so then the question is, Koresh, her son, who'd he come from? The next Persian king, was he Mordechai's son or Achshverosh's son? Okay, so we'll see. We'll have the answer to that next week. Okay, so we're going to have to pause here for this week. You want to get...